This is Mark Knights, talking about the characteristics of the so-called Second British Empire. That is to say, the empire as it developed in the later 18th, early 19th century, an empire which had moved from the base on trade that had characterised the first British Empire, which had been primarily focused on the Atlantic and Caribbean, to one based increasingly on territory, far more global in its concerns and interests, especially developing an Eastern perspective, more diverse in terms of the peoples that it was ruling, and more controversially, perhaps more authoritarian and less tolerant than the first British Empire. So, last week we looked at some of the dilemmas which were posed as a result of the Seven Years' War and the American Revolution as a sort of case study of the crisis of empire. And this week we're going to be looking at how the empire evolved after the loss of America. And particularly important here are the wars against France after the Revolution. Major continental but also global war from 1792 to 1815. It's worth pausing just for a moment on the continental side of things, though Sarah is going to talk about the domestic impact of those French wars at the beginning of next term. But there were a series of rivalries on continental Europe between Russia, Prussia, Austria, Spain, France, and Britain. And those rivalries mean that the attack on France, or the defeat of revolutionary France and then in Napoleonic France, proved very difficult to conclude. And a coalition of forces was only possible very late in the day in 1814. One thing that's worth really noting here is how expensive that continental warfare was, and relating back to things that we've been talking about in previous lectures, therefore how important that fiscal military state was, and therefore how important the trade from the empire was to the war effort. So there's a sort of virtuous circle, if you like. So the wars against France are continental, but they're also imperial ones, and the two are very closely linked together. And there's a quotation on the PowerPoint from Lord Auckland talking about the interconnectivity of security in Europe and the security of the British Empire and the production of wealth in the empire as being the means by which Britain could, in his words, humble the power of France. Those wars against France saw a redrawing of the imperial map because the process of war led to the shattering and reconstruction of a number of the old empires, and the Dutch, Spanish, Portuguese, and to a lesser extent the French empires all went through major reconfiguration. The British Empire, of course, had already fractured because of the American problem. But the French Empire began to disintegrate in the 1790s before rising again in a new, primarily European form. In South America, the Spanish Empire began to crumble. And the arenas of war in which these major reconfigurations took place were the West Indies, North America, the East Indies, Spanish America, and most importantly, perhaps, India and the strategic approaches to India. And as a result of that, Britain emerged as a dominant global power. So if we take each of those briefly in turn, the West Indies sees a period in the 1790s when the French colonies were lost either as a result of slave rebellion, as happened in San Domingo, or because of hostile action by British troops. Important to note here that the West Indies proved an important part of that fiscal military state because the imports and exports between Britain and the West Indies boomed as a result of the acquisitions that Britain made in the West Indies, and the revenue that was created was essential to contributing to the British war effort. North America, last time we touched on Canada, and we'll look at that very briefly later on as well. But in 1807, Britain and America went to war over disruptions to trading routes. But on the whole, the North American continent was less affected by the American wars, though Louisiana was sold to America for $3 million in 1803. The East Indies sees really the shattering of the Dutch Empire, as the Dutch territories on the continent were overrun by the French. The Dutch placed a large part of their colonial empire in the East Indies in the hands of the English. Spanish America also sees a process of fracturing. Spain was internally weak. It made a disastrous intervention in the French Revolution, and then Spanish links between the center of Spain and its colonies began to become much more difficult. And after a series of unsuccessful British attacks on Spanish colonies in South America, Britain began to support revolutionary independence movements, which flowered in the 1820s. But it's India that I want to talk about most of all. And just to sketch a little bit of the background here, we see a process of expansion in the mid-18th century as Robert Clive annexed large parts of Bengal in order to strengthen the control of the East India Company there. And he became governor of the province with tax-raising powers. So the expansion, territorial expansion of Britain in India had already occurred by and during the time of the Seven Years' War. And further expansion almost took place against the wishes of the company in London, though not, of course, of its representatives in India. And we can find statements of official disapproval of the policies that were actually carried out on the ground in India. As a result of the French Wars and the pressures on the Mughal Empire, Britain expanded its interests in India in the 1790s. In the south of India, France had aided the Sultan of Mysore, and allegedly to defend its interests, Britain invaded Mysore and defeated the Sultan there, and then expanded its interests north into the Deccan region and into the Carnatic. And there are maps on the PowerPoint which show the expansion of that territory. But it's also in the north of India, northwest of Bengal, that further expansion is made. And all of this is seen as not only undermining French influence, but also as a process of civilization, extension of British authority, influence and power over Indian peoples, 50 or 60 million of them by 1813, as part of self-consciously a process of the spread of British law and of its ideologies. The approach to India was as important as the mainland itself, so Britain also focuses on Mauritius, Cape of Good Hope, and Ceylon, all of which are secured, and Malta also an important staging post. In 1815, at the final settlement after the French Wars, Britain did not keep all its colonial acquisitions, but the number of colonies had increased from 26 at the start of those wars to 43. And French enthusiasm for overseas colonization was temporarily over. The Spanish Empire left a husk of its former self, Holland unable to compete with Britain. But it also left Britain, as indeed had earlier territorial conquests, with problems of governance, how to govern over non-white or non-Protestant populations. Canada, of course, raised the particular problem of French Catholics in Quebec, and in 1791 an act divided Canada into its Anglophone and French parts, each with an elected assembly and legislative council, but also recognizing Catholicism, as had indeed already occurred in the Quebec Act of 1774. In Indian